Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents HBR Guide to Managing Up and Across by Harvard Business Review, narrated by Jonathan Yen. Publisher's note, this audiobook has bonus material. Please contact whomever you purchased this audiobook from to request the material.
What you'll learn. Does your boss make you want to scream? Do you have more than one boss? Do you spend your day herding cats, working across departmental silos, corralling contractors? Then you know that managing up and across your company is critical to doing your job well. It's all about understanding your bosses and your colleagues' priorities, pressures, and work styles. You need to manage up and across not just because you may have a problem boss, incompetent colleagues, or projects that involve stakeholders flung far and wide. You need to manage up and across, for example, to get your marketing and sales folks to see that your project will help them meet their goals, too, to establish authority with higher-ups so they'll bless your new product ideas, to secure people's time for a new team when they're already feeling overextended. Managing up and across will help you get the information and resources you need to solve your complex problems, increase your effectiveness, and make your work more enjoyable. You'll get better at getting what you need from people who don't report to you, coping with micromanaging, conflict-aversive, or generally incompetent bosses, discovering what drives colleagues of all ages, partnering with your boss and her boss, selling your ideas up and across your company, making the most of your boss's influence, establishing a shared vision and commitment, juggling multiple bosses' priorities, tailoring your pitch to your audience, collaborating with remote colleagues, working with a new boss, navigating office politics. Section 1. Managing Up. Neglecting to manage up may cost you promotions or chances to put your great ideas into action. But understanding what makes your boss and his cohort tick and embracing their priorities will open doors for you. This isn't kissing up or manipulation. You're not trying to inflate egos. You're helping the people you work for succeed, which in turn helps you succeed. This section of the guide is about creating win-win relationships with higher-ups. You'll learn how to present problems and opportunities to them, give them feedback, connect with your boss's boss without doing an end run, and deal with a variety of difficult managers, from the micromanager to the conflict-averse. Chapter 1. Managing Your Boss by Linda A. Hill and Kent Lineback. Managing up is important because your boss plays a pivotal role in your success, or your failure. You can leverage your boss's influence in the organization on your behalf in several ways. For example, by obtaining valuable information, winning needed resources, and securing important support for your personal development and career. When you face difficult trade-offs and must make decisions that create both beneficial and painful consequences for others, your boss's advice, insight, knowledge of the organization, and access to higher management can be invaluable. As your organization shifts and changes shape in an uncertain market, a good relationship here becomes a necessity for navigating through the turmoil. The penalties of a poor relationship are many. Less influence, little information or advice, fewer resources, and limited personal development and career support. Worst case, you can find yourself isolated, ignored, pushed out, your journey stalled, your career derailed. Why is it often an uneasy relationship? This relationship can be problematic for two reasons. First, a boss plays conflicting roles, supporter and evaluator, which can create confusion. Second, people often bring their past experience with authority into the relationship, which can create unnecessary complications. This is an area where being a star as an individual contributor may not have prepared you for management. As an exceptional performer, you probably had minimal interaction with your boss. If so, you most likely didn't develop the skills of managing up that you need. Do you see your boss as coach and developer, or as evaluator and judge? You're caught in a difficult dilemma, one that can feel personally threatening. The boss is not only a potential source of great help in both your job and your career, but also the one who evaluates your performance. To get help from her as a developer, particularly with your personal development, you must first reveal your shortcomings. But if you do, she, in her role as evaluator, may interpret your weaknesses as serious faults. Many managers handle this dilemma by striving to appear capable and in control, even when they're not. They see their boss more as threat than ally and lose the potential benefits of her help. Are you confused by your boss's dual role? Do you tend to see your boss as primarily a judge? Does that attitude seem safer to you? That's understandable, but it's not always the most helpful point of view. What can you do? Don't presume your boss is always one or the other, judge or coach. Instead, think of his dual roles as extremes, between which he moves back and forth depending on the situation. At first, in small ways that aren't risky, test his willingness to provide support. That way, you can see when, where, and how he's likely to focus on development rather than evaluation. Learn his feelings about what's important in management, such as careful planning, decisiveness, building consensus, and make sure you develop and display those qualities. Do you see past bosses in your current boss? How do you feel about your current boss? How do you respond to authority in general and to those who have it? If most of your bosses have frustrated you and fallen short of your expectations, you and they may be victims of the emotional baggage you carry forward from past experience. Reflect on your own history and the feelings it's created in you. That history may lead you to perceive your current boss not as who she is, but as an amalgam of past authority figures, with all the positive and negative feelings that flow from that past. Unless you're aware of these feelings, you'll be at their mercy. On the other hand, you may respond to authority with overdependence rather than resistance. Extreme deference and automatic, unquestioning compliance don't work well either. Those who react this way never disagree or push back, even when they're right or it's in their best interest. Both antagonism to authority and too much deference will keep you from seeing your boss clearly and realistically, and prevent you from securing the work and personal benefits available from a good relationship. What your boss expects of you. You and your boss agree on your annual, individual performance targets that support larger organizational goals. But what about her undocumented expectations? What should you be doing beyond your formal job description that will make you indispensable to your boss and your organization as a whole? Collaborate. Overcome differences between you and others so you work together effectively, even if you don't like each other. Lead initiatives. Don't be reluctant to associate yourself with unproven ideas, especially those that cross functional or unit boundaries. Raise your hand, and you'll climb the ladder faster than those who don't. Develop your own people. Take as active an interest in your employees' development as you do in your own, if not more. Go out of your way to criticize and praise your people when they need it. And during performance reviews, supply people with specific, candid, and useful feedback. Stay current. Regularly read and watch the news. What happens in the world affects what happens with your team, your marketplace, and your competition. Also, know what's going on with your customers, how they're changing, how their competition is changing, and how technology and world events are affecting their strategies. Your customer relationships are key assets. Bring them to the table. Drive your own growth. Seek perpetual education and development, not necessarily by going to school, but by finding exposure to new people and ideas. Seek feedback from your boss and accept demanding assignments. Be a player for all seasons. Demonstrate positive behaviors even during hard times. You'll sustain your ability to motivate and inspire your own people no matter what's going on around you. Adapted from What Your Leader Expects of You by Larry Bossidy, Harvard Business Review, April 2007. What should your relationship with your boss be? Do you realize that your relationship is actually one of mutual dependence? Your boss depends on you and needs your commitment and support to succeed. Just as you may wrestle with your reliance on your people, he probably struggles with his dependence on you and his other direct reports. Think of the relationship as a partnership in which the partners depend on each other to succeed and are able to influence each other in ways that improve the performance of each. It's not a relationship of equals, certainly, but it's not entirely one way either. You usually do have some room to negotiate and create the relationship that works for both of you. Take stock of your current relationship. Is your current relationship a partnership? Are you and your boss able to have a normal, constructive discussion about work? If not, why not? Don't assume you can make significant differences in how your boss thinks or operates. Most likely, the best you can do is nudge her in directions that work better for you. That's certainly worth doing, but you're unlikely to create large changes. With that in mind, use the following questions to assess and improve your relationship. They focus on actions you can take. Are you meeting expectations? By far, the key factor in a good relationship is your ability to perform as expected. Results. Performance targets create the foundation for your ongoing relationship. Unless you and your group produce the results expected, you're unlikely to enjoy much of a partnership. And it's not just the results you attain, but how you attain them. If you hit your numbers, but your boss hears complaints all day about how you railroad other groups, he probably won't consider you someone who meets expectations. Information. But results aren't the only expectation. Do you keep your boss informed? Reach explicit agreement about how often and in what way you will report progress. Develop a sense of what your boss wants to know. Some prefer to know a great deal, others much less. In general, no boss likes to be surprised or seem ignorant of something she should know. If you must err, do it on the side of over-informing. Many bosses actually want more information than they say, so discover the right balance through experience. Find out as well how your boss wants information delivered. Written reports via email, in person if that's possible, or by video call. Support and loyalty. Your goal is to make the relationship work for both of you, and that requires some degree of support and loyalty. Just as you want your boss to care about you, and your people want you to care about them, your boss wants your care and concern too. Be generous and assume the best intentions, even when you disagree. Express disagreement as your opinion offered in support of your boss's success. Some people bridle at the word loyalty. We don't mean blind loyalty, but loyal people earn the right to question and disagree on occasion. Those who speak up only when they disagree will usually enjoy less influence than those who have demonstrated prior support. So on those occasions when you do honestly agree with your boss, say so clearly and explicitly. You cannot succeed in this relationship at the expense of your boss. You will rise or fall together. Your task is to make both of you effective. Help your boss build on her strengths and overcome or bypass her limitations. Does your boss trust you? The foundation of all network relationships is trust, and the relationship with your boss is no different. Can he count on you to do the right thing? If you feel micromanaged, the reason may be that you've neglected to establish real trust. The essence of building trust is to negotiate what you both mean by do the right thing. Do you both see the current situation the same way? Make sure you share a common understanding of the challenges your group faces and what needs to be done. If you see the need for fundamental change and your boss wants to stay the course, you must resolve this difference right away. Do you agree about where you and your group are going? Once again, a plan is critical. Do you have one? Have you reviewed it with your boss? Does it make clear what's to be done and when? Make sure your boss knows your goals and plans and agrees with them. Ideally, she had a hand in creating them. Do you negotiate expectations when you're given an assignment? Don't let your relationship be one in which you simply accept whatever is passed down without discussion. If the expectations are unrealistic, you will have no one to blame but yourself when your team fails. Reach agreement on the results you're expected to produce, what will happen by when. Do this at the beginning and update expectations periodically. Warn your boss of potential risks and play out various scenarios of how you might handle them. Do you see and understand your boss as a person? It's easy to forget that beneath your boss's mantle of authority, there's a person just like you. He has hopes, aspirations, frustrations, strengths, weaknesses, and fears. He's the product of his background, training, and experience. He has a personal life, a family and family history, religious beliefs, social organizations, political views, and hobbies. Do you know enough that you're able to see the world through his eyes? Do you understand your boss as a manager? Your boss has goals, plans, and pressures, as well as managerial strengths and weaknesses, preferences, and foibles. Do you know them? What's your boss on the line for? What's her boss telling her to do? Do you know how your boss prefers to make decisions, and do you work within that pattern? Does he prefer lots of analysis and data? Does he need time to reach a conclusion? Does he want everyone's opinion before deciding? If you must depart from these preferences, do you first negotiate explicitly what you will do? Do you know and respect the ways your boss prefers to work? Some bosses want written analyses before a discussion, while others prefer the discussion or presentation first, followed by a written summary. Some want lots of data. Others want the highlights. Some want to be intimately involved in every detail. Others prefer regular reports, but nothing more unless there's a problem. When you approach your boss, do you expect guidance or answers? We know a manager whose boss always responded to questions with questions of her own. Finally, this manager realized, I had to come in with some ideas about how I would handle the situation, and then she would talk about them with me. She would spend all the time in the world with me. Do you present a problem and expect your boss to solve it? Many bosses resist that approach. Instead, try going in with a problem, an analysis, alternatives, and a recommendation he can react to. Can you identify your boss's strengths? This stumps many managers, we know. They focus on their boss's weaknesses and can talk at length about them, and often do with their peers. But they seldom look for strengths. That's a shame, because your boss's strengths are what you must leverage, and you cannot leverage what you don't recognize or appreciate. Whatever your boss's weaknesses, identify what she does well. There must be something. Don't fall back on something like, she knows how to play the organizational game. There's something there. What is it, and how can you use it to learn and do your work more effectively? Are you clear about what you need and expect? Negotiate what you need from your boss. Don't make him guess. What can he do to help you? Provide resources, support from other groups, relief from distracting responsibilities, clearer direction. In addition, think about the way you prefer to work and what you need from a superior, such as specific goals, help and ongoing guidance, or a certain degree of autonomy. Be sure you know where the boundaries are. Test how negotiable they are. Where your needs and your boss's way of managing diverge, talk through the differences. Where differences involve high stakes, talk sooner than later. It's easy to underestimate the risks of conflict avoidance and the cost of the passive aggression that often accompanies it. Your nonverbal communications, expression, manner, body language, tone, often reveal your true feelings about your boss and can slowly corrode this critical relationship. Have you discussed with your boss your own growth, development, and aspirations? How can your boss help you grow and develop? She's not responsible for your career and personal development, but it's in her best interest for you to improve in ways that will help you and her succeed. From your boss, you can get advice and guidance, feedback about your performance, strengths and weaknesses, insight into what others think of you, developmental assignments, and access to training programs and other learning opportunities. To obtain these, you must first communicate your desire to learn. Then you must agree about how and where you want to grow, what competencies you need to develop, such as building a network, making a plan, managing performance, or assessing subordinates. Have reasonable expectations. Take responsibility for your own development. Besides, your boss probably has no more time and no less pressure than you, and many bosses, unfortunately, are uncomfortable in this role. The more specific the requests you make, the better. To attend a training course, for example, or advice about a specific problem. Do you and your boss come from different cultures? Be aware that cultures differ in their expectations and treatment of people with authority. In some, the boss is expected to be participative. In others, directive. In some, proactive and assertive. In others, humble and modest. Compare the characteristics of both your cultures. Where your assumptions and expectations differ, be prepared to talk about them explicitly. Work hard to build a productive relationship with your boss. Initiate the kinds of discussions we've suggested. It's difficult to succeed without his support, and impossible in the face of his opposition. Always remember that your reports face these same issues with you. Let your experience in each relationship, with your boss and with your people, guide you in the other. Don't make the mistake, as many managers do, of ignoring such a potentially powerful source of help and support. Take responsibility for, and play an active role in, making it a partnership that benefits both of you. Avoid seeing yourself as a passive, powerless subordinate. Don't assume it cannot be a positive, mutually helpful relationship until you've tested the possibilities on several occasions. It's too important to your ability to exercise influence, and thus to your journey, to merely let it be whatever it will be. Linda A. Hill is the Wallace Brett Donham Professor of Business Administration and Faculty Chair of the Leadership Initiative at Harvard Business School. Now a writer and executive coach, Kent Lineback spent many years as a manager and an executive in business and government. They are the co-authors of Being the Boss, The Three Imperatives for Becoming a Great Leader, Harvard Business Review Press, 2011. Adapted from Being the Boss, The Three Imperatives for Becoming a Great Leader, by Linda A. Hill and Kent Lineback, Harvard Business Review Press, 2011. Checklist for Managing Your Boss. Make sure you understand your boss and his or her context, including goals and objectives, pressures, strengths, weaknesses, blind spots, preferred work style. Assess yourself and your needs, including strengths and weaknesses, personal style, predisposition toward dependence on authority figures. Develop and maintain a relationship that fits both your needs and styles, is characterized by mutual expectations, keeps your boss informed, is based on dependability and honesty, selectively uses your boss's time and resources. Adapted from Managing Your Boss by John J. Gabarro and John P. Cotter, Harvard Business Review, January 2005, republished from 1980. Chapter 2, Winning Over Your New Boss, by Lou McCreary. Getting a new boss can be fraught with anxiety and risk, often making it hard to see the opportunities fresh leadership will bring to you and your organization. You'll have to come to terms with whatever unpredictable changes she unleashes. Don't expect the new regime to resemble the old one. Leaders are often brought in to shake up the status quo, so you'll want to make it clear right away that you're a valuable contributor. If you get a new boss by joining another organization, you'll have no immediate worries about job security, but you will need to figure out the culture and its politics, meet with and impress new colleagues and direct reports, and above all, create a successful partnership with your new boss. You'll need to understand, quickly and in detail, exactly what you've been brought aboard to do, what key stakeholders you'll need to please, what resources you can command, and how your performance in the job will be measured. In either new boss scenario, uncertainties abound, but you have a role to play in taming them. As Tom Gilmore, a principal at the Center for Applied Research, CFAR, points out, you're just as responsible as your new boss for the quality of the working alliance. What does that response?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?